You're listening to the All Elite Podcast, your favorite AEW fan podcast for in-depth analysis and discussions about the number one growing brand in professional wrestling today, All Elite Wrestling. This podcast is broadcast live on YouTube, Facebook Live, and Twitch on behalf of the No Holds Barred Network. The network is your source for wrestling interviews and podcast content featuring independent wrestling and AEW. Also, make sure to hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. So sit back, relax, and interact in the live chat. Enjoy the show.
Everybody, welcome back to the All Elite Podcast right here in the No Holds Bar Network. I'm your host, as always. I am your self-proclaimed greatest host. I am your Canadian Prince. My name is Kyle Masters, and not joined again today this week by Tiffany, who is the Queen of the Indies, Lady Light Tubes. You know, she's got a billion nicknames. But we got Jackie back this week from last week from Elite POV. Jackie Rodriguez. At Love You Make 24. What's up?
What's up? You make my name sound so like fancy and like, I don't know.
I roll those R's. Roll those R's. It's Jackie Rodriguez.
Oh my God.
What's up?
Oh, what's up is that AEW Grand Slam did a number on me.
See, I should be tired along with you. I should be right now exhausted from getting off a flight and just all that jazz. But no, life decided to be cruel and, couldn't be at the show, but that's all right. I was there in spirit. I got video called from Jackie here right before the show started, which was really cool. Those seats were awesome. You basically were in parents' row.
Yeah, really. I'm like, you know, I had MJF's parents like, few rows further down, closer to ringside, Eddie Kingston's mom like further up behind. So it was like friends and family central.
Yeah, you're in the parent section, so like there are probably more there, and you just no one really kind of recognized and didn't really make themselves known. So who knows?
It's possible.
Which parents that were in there. Did you see any other older people?
Few.
Maybe
it was a pretty mixed crowd.
Are there a lot of kids?
You know, now that you mention it. I there was one in the row behind us, which I felt horrible about after the fact because I may have said a couple things that I probably wouldn't have said around a child otherwise.
Disclaimer. This is what this company is about. This ain't no WWE John Cena, Hulk Hogan crap. No. You're going to get the 18 to 49 demographic shit here.
Okay, but let's be fair. Like in crowds in both companies can get a little.
Yeah.
Rowdy.
I'd say WWE's has more kids though. It's very much more kid oriented.
More kids, but yeah, it was a nice little mixture of age range. Wow, why was that so hard to say?
But overall, you thought like you liked the show, like you were there. Obviously, if you guys haven't figured it out yet, Jackie was there live, and just from watching on TV, the atmosphere looked insane. I just heard that thunder. Damn, if y'all just hear that.
Disclaimer, it is storming fiercely outside. So when you hear like thunder and, you know, like loud banging, I promise nobody is breaking into my home. That is just nature happening outside.
I was like, oh, did you move a desk or something over there?
But, no, it's like, did something just like fall apart over there? No. That's the outside. But you were asking me like, yes, I was there live. For all 10 million hours of it.
Long.
No, I mean, it was long. It was long because they did some dark matches in the beginning. They did 2 hours of Dynamite and 2 hours of Rampage. And marathon, and yeah. I'm not 20 years old anymore, Kyle. You know,
are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm definitely sure. When I, you know, wake up the next day and I'm like, oh, my back. Oh, like I feel so cramped up. Yeah, I know that I've reached that point of my life, as is why I'm drinking my tea here.
Oh, man, that it just looked like such a fun show, and the atmosphere looked incredible. I so wish I could have been there, but, you know, there'll be other shows one day. And oh,
there will.
Shout outs in the live chat right now. Mama Jackie. In the chat.
He's in the chat.
How's it going, Jacqueline Rodriguez?
Here he goes, showing off. Hi, Mama.
But yeah, unreal show last night. Probably one of the best Dynamites they've done so far. I know that's it's crazy how many times we can sit here and say that after a lot of Dynamites, oh, that was the best one ever. That was the best one ever. This truly, I think, was one of their, you know, one of their best ones.
Yeah, without question.
Especially with the way they opened it. I can't believe they opened up with Brian and Omega, it's funny because the last couple of days leading up to this, I was like, my gut's telling me for some reason they're going to open up with this match because they don't want any, like, you know, screw around with this. They don't want to get time constraint because this is a dream match. This is an epic match. You want to give them the full time. Why not just open up with this match, give them the full time, but they wanted to do. Obviously, they did it with the tie. Perfect way to end that match, because I had it. I'm like, people ask me, because they're like, so what do you think about this match? I'm like, well, I think it's going to end in a draw. And they're like, well, what did they say? No, they asked me, like, when do you think the match is going to be? And I said it's going to be an open match. And I'm like, don't be surprised if it's a draw either, because they're not going to give Daniel Bryan a loss right away in his first match.
Yeah. That's because Kyle's secretly booking this stuff. We just, you know, we don't realize it, but he's just been booking the show this whole time. Yeah,
I'm in Tony Khan's pocket.
Pocket, yes. You're on the payroll. Because I sure as heck did not think it was going on first. I was so set in the mentality that this was going to be the main event, that this was going to be like the showcase match of the night, which it didn't matter if they stuck it dead smack in the middle of the card. It was going to be the showcase. And, you know, the words dream match get thrown around pretty loosely, but this lived up to every single bit of the dream match implications that it had going into it. So,
for real.
Cannot say enough.
For real. And then shout out to the chat really quickly. Jermazing, what's going on, buddy? You'll get your AEW fix in Canada soon, Kyle. They'll visit up north. I honestly think they will be. And I know they're going to be going to Toronto because of Tony Khan owning a bunch of hotels in Toronto. So Full Gear 2020 was actually supposed to be in Toronto. So whenever they do come here, you bet your ass I'm going to be doing everything I can possibly doing. The Dynamite, the Rampage, the pay-per-view, doing everything. But as for Dynamite itself last night at Grand Slam, with that opening contest, insane. Insane that we got like that. Yes. And a lot of people did question as to, you know, is it too early? Was this too early? You got to kind of sit there and think, like, from their perspective, Daniel Bryan, you know, as much as he's in great ring shape right now, possibly in the prime or a little bit after his prime right now, you can't really guarantee with his past injuries, especially Daniel Bryan, who literally retired. He literally retired and then came back from an injury. You can't risk that. They can't have this match booked for like next year. What if something happens in between then? They could never get this dream match. I think they smartly booked this match for a big Dynamite, and it worked out for Grand Slam. Look at the bell. Look what happened at the sound of the bell. You guys all like lost your shit. That moment right there brought me back memories of the beginning of Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania 18. When that bell rung, which was in Toronto, by the way, Canada fans are crazy. That bell rung, the crowd did the exact same thing. They're on their feet, losing their shit. It's exactly what happened here. The bell rung and Kenny and Daniel Bryan had that kind of stare down, and it was just epic. And I loved how the crowd,
they created a moment right there. Exactly. I'm glad that they allowed themselves to kind of like bask in it, because I watched the TNT feedback today, and I can tell you right off the bat, what you guys heard on television cannot even come close to how loud it was right out the gate. That crowd was hot.
Yeah, a lot of people are reporting that on Twitter. Like, a lot of people that were there in attendance, like Sean Rassap and Andrew Zarian, they're all saying, like, we don't know how this is coming across on TV, but it is loud here.
It was deafening, and it was consistent. Like, they could have probably just stood there for, like, 5 minutes, and people would have been going going crazy.
Sorry, Brian Danielson, I'm not the only one making that mistake. I've seen a lot of people always make that mistake, like, talking about it. It's going to be hard. You call him Daniel Bryan for years.
Wait, hold on. Did you call him Daniel Bryan?
I guess.
I didn't even catch it because, oh, my God, that's how hardwired our brains are.
Sorry, Brian Danielson.
I didn't notice.
I'm just going to say Brian. Just Brian. That works, right? Just Brian.
It works, but it goes both ways. So, yeah.
I mean, usually people just call him Omega. I mean, most time people say his full name, but I a lot of times I hear just Omega or just Kenny. But anyways, back to the match itself. So this, and you were saying like how loud it was there in person. That's not really a completely enclosed arena, which is great. And because
it was last night though. And I think it was because we were in anticipation of some rain. So they did close it. They closed it.
The dome's open. Isn't it not completely closed concept, like the top isn't like around the dome at the top open a little bit?
I thought it was closed. I was actually surprised. Like, I was like, okay, I guess it's only the roof that's retractable. Now the concourses around are open to the elements, but the actual stadium, unless I completely missed something, which I looked around, I filmed like around the area, mm-hmm. and it looked pretty close to me, and it was a million degrees in there. Everybody was hot and sweaty and whatever, but so I think it was close the whole way around.
Over 20, I think they had like 20,177 was the official number, which is crazy.
They even sold those seats behind the stage.
Yeah, so
they're not a great vantage point, but they let people bought them.
So Kimmy Talks Wrestling, who does some stuff on the No Holds Barred Network, she actually got late tickets and she sat up there, and which was great because she did a vlog and it's on the network right now for you guys to check out. They sold those tickets, and what they did with the stage is it was an open concept, the stage, so people that sat back there could see everything and they weren't blocked by anything, which was amazing. So this was really well done. Production and everything for that show, they were spot on. Everything was nailed to perfection. I love the whole aesthetic of it. The stage looked great.
Visually, it looked fantastic. That LED ramp, mm-hmm. you know, especially during certain entrances, we won't jump ahead, but damn, it created like a full atmosphere. It was every bit that big show feel that, you know, that we were hoping for with the Grand Slam moniker.
And I think they should come back here once a year. I really think they should make...
Yes,
Grand Slam,
and come back for a pay-per-view. Yeah,
or come back for a pay-per-view and do something at Arthur Ashe. Mm-hmm. I think they should make Arthur Ashe Stadium AEW's New York spot, and that'll be their show whenever they come to New York. I know they're coming back to New York at UBS, or UB, whatever it's called, in Long Island. I think they need to do something special with that stadium, because it is such a historic stadium, because it holds the U.S. Open for tennis all the time, and it's a well-known arena, and it's... From everything I've gathered from people that sat anywhere in that building, there wasn't a bad seat in that entire house. Whether you were up in the rafters, whether you were down low, the way that stadium is built, you cannot get a bad view.
Yeah, because it goes more up than out. So it's like everybody has a good vantage point from where they're sitting. Now, this is not a flex, but where we were sitting anyway, there really wasn't a way to get a bad view there. But the consensus across the board was that even people in the higher tiers were not complaining about the view. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, great show. So I'm going to quickly go to the live chat. There's a couple of stuff here. Kilroy, AEW is ECW's atmosphere with a WCW bankroll, pretty much. I think it'll be four matches with Kenny and Brian, a draw, one win for each, and then a fourth huge match to settle things. That would be cool. I do have some thoughts, which we'll go into in a second, about where this is going. Railroader Sports puts, as soon as I saw it opening, it was definitely a draw. If it was the main, there would have been shenanigans, but this was perfect the way it was. Exactly. Cupid Girl, how's it going? See you in there. Isaac, so there's supposed to be a new women's title. I do have some news about that. We'll get into that. It's Brian Danielson. Correct me on my Daniel Bryan thing. Conrad from Everything's Pro Wrestling Podcast. What's going on? Check them out, guys. Dome was
there
closed.
Was a lot. There was a lot of your happening in the stadium last night. I can tell you that right off the bat.
But yes. So I think where do they go for, like, these two are going to have a rematch. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Kenny's even being the troll tweeter and tweeting now saying it's never happening again. It's going to happen again. It's going to be for the title, I think. Because that's the only way you do a rematch with these two is there's got to be something on the line. Which leads me to think this kind of sucks a little bit. Because in wrestling, we have to come to accept that plans do change.
Yes.
Have plans change for Hangman Page. Because it kind of looked like Hangman was supposed to win it all out. Obviously, the child situation happened.
How do I call it? Child situation. Yeah, his wife having a baby.
Yeah, the child situation. Then we have now Daniel Bryan coming in. And now I'm starting to think, well, if they're willing to give us Omega and Bryan this quickly, they want to maybe get the rematch out of the way quickly and not wait that long. Give me Full Gear, Bryan versus Omega. And I kind of sit there and think the rematch is going to have a stipulation. It's not going to be hardcore or lights out or any of that garbage because Bryan's not here to do that. It's going to be wrestling. So what's the alternative here? You think of a wrestling type of stipulation, Iron Man match. Kenny Omega's had that 30-minute banger one against Pac.
Yes.
Is it going to be 30-minute? No, I think their rematch is going to be 60-minute. I think they're going to pull the trigger and give us a 60-minute Iron Man match between these two. And I would love for it to happen at Full Gear.
Incredible. That would be incredible. And, you know, you're always going to get naysayers and people that complain in terms of, like, if you think about Full Gear being a title match and, you know, how many wins and losses are going to happen in between then, like, what's Danielson's record going to look like by then? Is it going to be justifiable for him to get the title shot? But I'm like, I feel like in some situations you got to give a little bit of lenience if you know that the outcome is going to be, you know, a banger match like we had last night. But if two people could go that full hour, it's definitely the two of them, because they did not look for one second like they were winded or tired, or, you know, they went in the whole duration of that match. So give us an hour. I would not complain about that, not one bit.
I thought for sure we were going to get Hangman Page's return last night too. So the fact that he didn't come back last night, I'm sitting there going, maybe he's not coming back for a little bit. Maybe he's going to stick at home for a bit with the kid, you know, go a little bit past Full Gear. Maybe they move that over to Revolution, which Revolution kind of makes sense in a way as well. Full Gear made sense for Hangman to win it because they basically named a pay-per-view after him. Revolution also makes sense because of that tag team match he had with Kenny Omega, which was basically kind of started the whole, like, breakoff from there's history at Revolution with Hangman and Kenny. Yeah. They could do this title match at Revolution, or, you know what? What if Tony Khan has something in his back pocket for Double or Nothing? I know Double or Nothing was their first show. It's always a big show for them. They make every pay-per-view a really big show. But what if, like, Double or Nothing ends up being at a big stadium? Maybe he's going to plan for Double or Nothing to be a big stadium show next year. So what if they say, and that main eventing a stadium show would sell, Hangman versus Kenny Omega for the belt.
Yes.
So that could be on the back burner for now. And then because Bryan Danielson's here, CM Punk's here, you know, one day he's going to have a match with Kenny Omega, and that's another dream match people want to see. So
best in the world versus best in the world.
And you got Adam Cole. You can do Adam Cole versus CM Punk, Adam Cole versus Bryan Danielson, Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole. Like, there's all, like, you know, eventually, like, Adam Cole and Kenny Omega are eventually going to face each other. Yeah, they're together right now, but eventually I think they're going to face each other. It's, yeah, TK always has something up his sleeve. You're right there, Isaac. So
yes,
I'm so excited for the future with this. So I cannot wait. I did have a little bit of news on this. Hang on. Speaking of Full Gear, so a little bit of news on Full Gear.
Yes, I heard this today.
So this is weird. So AEW announced during the show, they had it come across the bottom, they announced they announced Rampage the week of Full Gear only. They didn't announce the Dynamite that week. They didn't announce Full Gear that week. They literally only announced the Rampage at the Target Center. The Friday. So the Friday before Full Gear. So very strange. So November, is it November 12th? Yeah, November 12th, Friday, November 12th, is at the Target Center, Minneapolis. It came across the bottom, and was it Excalibur was talking about it. He was saying, like, oh, AEW making its Minneapolis debut, Rampage, Saturday, or Friday, November 12th, the day before Full Gear. But they didn't mention Full Gear being at the same place. They didn't mention Dynamite that week. They didn't do, like, the double thing where, like, Dynamite and Rampage are in the Target Center that week.
That's really interesting because I didn't even catch that. I saw the advert come up and Excalibur talking about it, but I guess I had just kind of heard Full Gear and assumed that both were happening there.
But it's not made official yet.
That's interesting.
Which is really weird. So it makes me think, I wonder if they couldn't get the Target Center for Wednesday because the Target Center is also home to the NBA's Minnesota Timberwolves. Are this the Timberwolves?
You'd be asking the wrong person.
There's a team in this arena, and it's bugging me. Someone in the chat, let me know.
Somebody in the chat.
There is a team that resides in the Target Center, and makes me think that maybe they have a home game on the Wednesday, and that's why they couldn't book the Dynamite for Wednesday.
Man, NBA always messing with our AEW wrestling. Get out of our way.
But the fact also that Full Gear is not announced is also weird. The Timberwolves. So I was right. Someone doesn't know chat. Thank you, Animals 07.
Thank you.
So maybe the Timberwolves have a game. If someone can check too in a live chat, do us a favor. Check the NBA schedule and see if the Timberwolves are playing Wednesday, November 10th at home. Whoever finds out, I'll give you a special shout out right now in the show. So let us know in the chat. Go check the Timberwolves home schedule if they're playing on the 10th. Because it's weird how they did not announce Dynamite, but only announced Rampage that entire week, because I know there's a New York convention going on. There's a lot of AEW people at the convention that weekend. I don't know if it's not really like set in stone at the Target Center, and they're maybe rethinking and maybe doing Full Gear somewhere in New York. Yes, once it does move to TBS, they don't have to work around sports. Can't wait for that. Although Rampage is going to be staying on TNT, was the news added today. So starting January 22nd, they said. I can't see January in my calendar here. So January 22nd, Dynamite moves to TBS. Rampage still has TNT. They're at Golden State. Thank you, Kilroy. My buddy Kilroy. Thank you, nailing that. So that's also, again, weird that the Timberwolves are not at home. So then why have they announced Dynamite, or why didn't they announce Dynamite and Rampage at the same time? It was really odd how they only announced Rampage.
Could it have been an oversight?
I don't know. I feel like Excalibur would have just said it too.
I guess we will wait and see.
Yes. And as far as I know, they haven't done anything on their Twitter account. AEW hasn't updated where that's going to be. I wonder if there's nothing set in stone currently right now. So we'll find out. But anyway, speaking of Brian, this is a little weird. I found this today and I was like, that's kind of stupid and kind of petty. So you saw Daniel Bryan or... Bryan Danielson come out.
Get it together, Kyle.
And everyone's doing the yes chant. Who doesn't do it? Mm-hmm. Bryan Danielson. That's because apparently he's not allowed to do it because of WWE. Maybe WWE still owns him doing... I don't know how they own him doing this. I don't know how that's how you can own someone doing that. It's like if people were flipping the bird on TV saying, oh, you can't do that because Stone Cold Steve Austin and he's still there. That doesn't make any sense. He's allowed to do this. I don't get that. The crowd's doing yes. Are you going to sue the crowd?
you can't control the crowd. And you know what? Not for nothing. It is the crowd's thing to do. Whether or not Danielson is able to participate in it is kind of a non-issue. It's like it's there for the crowd to do it. Yeah. And what's it? You're going to hit all 20,000 plus people with a cease and desist.
Oh, they don't own it. So I guess they agreed he wouldn't do it. That's because Daniel Bryan's a fucking sweetheart. And the guy's the nicest guy in the world. He did that whole story he released about WWE before the match yesterday. And like, really? That's still petty to them because they told him, they're like, we'd like you not to do that. Like, Daniel Bryan agreed.
Choose your battles.
But like, why do they care? apparently to them that they don't care about AEW, but clearly they do if they don't let Daniel Bryan do the yes chant.
We know good and darn well that they do care, for as much as they like to say that they don't. There's enough evidence to show that, yes, it is on their radar. We don't have to, like, go deep into that, but yeah.
Yeah, he's a stand-up guy. They care. Nathan Rodriguez in the chat put he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, that's my brother, yes, by the
way. I figured, you know, the last name, that probably gave it away, right?
There's a lot of us out there.
I mean, yeah, another Rodriguez could have came in here and I could be like, oh, that's your brother. And you could have been like, who?
Yeah, it could have been. And then I would have been like, wow, Kyle, stereotypical much?
Yeah. Well, but yes, is what that is. Also, I saw this. I don't know if you caught this last night. There might have been some teasing going on. A little bit of Easter egg teasing with a lot of the AEW stars. Did you notice? Well, obviously you would have noticed this. Malakai Black, he came out with red lights. Correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He is wearing a red contact.
Yes.
Cody Rhodes coming out in all red. Brandi Rhodes was in all red. Sting and Darby also had some red strips of paint on their faces.
Yes, they did.
All this red. It makes me think of someone fiend-like that used to use a lot of red light in his matches. I'm connecting the dots, and I know because they tease. AEW done this in the past, so you know this is they're doing it. You know why they're doing this, because next week it's in Rochester where Brody was supposed to debut, right? And it's his hometown. You know the Fiend's coming out next week. I'm joking.
Kyle, if he shows up, I'm not sitting here saying that. I will PayPal you $50 or something like that, because. And then I would be like, now I really know that you're booking.
Man, let me adjust my tinfoil hat here. I got to adjust this. Yeah, because guys, the red light means he's coming. That's exactly what it is.
Tinfoil hat. There's tinfoil underneath the fitted cap, guys.
But I will say this, and I won't reveal my source. But, ladies and gentlemen, can't confirm who my source is because just for safety reasons and all that stuff, and I don't want to give away my source. They know. They are best friends with the owner of the hotel that the AEW stars were staying in last night. A certain individual checked into that hotel last night. This boss told my source. My source told me. And keep it hush hush. I'm not going to reveal who you are. But certain individual was checked in to the AEW hotel last night. So there's that. Take that as you will. As you will. Listen, baby, the Fiend is coming to AEW next week, and he's gonna be cruising that boulevard right to Rochester, and he's gonna face my son Cody. He's gonna say, "Cody, I'm the Fiend, and I'm gonna make you wet your bed." He's gonna scare him half to death.
I'm gonna make you wet your bed. Please don't ever put that on merch. Don't do that.
But. So take that as you will. I think he might be coming over, which is going to be great.
I hope you're right.
And let's talk about Malakai Black, though. Let's talk about Malakai Black.
Oh, yes, let's, please.
Last night, that was, okay, A, the entrance was, I love his entrance. His entrance is so good. But didn't I say last week on the show that we should not be surprised because when Cody comes out, he is going to get booed out of that building, and sure enough, this man came out and got booed out of Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Okay, I'm going to speak to it as somebody that was actually in the building. When he made his entrance, I think the crowd was a little bit more lenient with him, and there was more of a mixture of cheers and boos, and of course, he's got that song that everybody likes to sing along to. They know their cues, so that kind of like hyped people up. It was more of a gradual descent into booing as the match progressed. It wasn't like directly out of the gate. It was more of a mixture. I thought they were going to go full tilt and boo him out the building the minute he walked
this man's into John the Cena. Stadium. He John Cena himself. He John Cena himself. Exactly what Kiroi said in the chat there. He John Cena himself. This man is the John Cena. He's playing a baby face but getting booed. He's basically John Cena. John Cena,
Roman
himself.
Reigns. Yep. All that kind of...
People just want him to turn heel already. Just do it, man.
But you can't, you can't control the crowd, you know, no. And there's a certain level of autonomy that comes with the AEW crowd. I'm not trying to insult anybody else's intelligence, but, you know, it is a smart crowd. We kind of march to the beat of our own drums, and we're going to cheer who we're going to cheer. We're going to boo who we're going to boo, you know, regardless of whether they're playing babyface, heel, tweener, whatever. You can't force anybody to be behind it. And the bottom line is Malakai Black is just that badass character that you want to cheer.
Yeah.
He's so freaking cool. Like, I hate to like use that word here. Like there must be a better word than that, but people are not going to boo him. Not at this stage, especially where he's got so much momentum and, you know, just people are just hyped that he's there in the first place. So Cody, I think, is probably just bearing the brunt of, you know, how over Malakai Black is.
I will say this. His heel run was great back in New Japan and Ring of Honor. So I think I can see where people are wanting him to go heel because they want to see that Cody Rhodes again because they loved that Cody Rhodes. So I think that's maybe a mixture of that. And a lot of people are just kind of sick and tired of him trying to push himself into the spotlight, which I'm glad they chose the right result here. They didn't make me come on here tonight and rant my ass off for a half hour.
You did threaten.
I'm so glad they picked the right result. That was the smartest way they could have done. I will say I laughed when Arn fell. When Arn fell.
We did too. I felt bad. And my first thing was somebody check on him, make sure he's not hurt. But when he got up, then I laughed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was fun.
Forgive me.
You got to laugh at that. Come on. I bet you he's laughing at it now.
But karma, side note, I won't get too far into it, but I laughed at him when he fell, and then I had my fall outside of the stadium and busted my behind pretty badly. So instant karma for laughing at Arn Anderson.
You hurt the peach.
I hurt the peach.
You broke the peach. Damn it.
I didn't land on the peach. I landed on my knee,
but it was funny. And then, but they did. Anyways, they did the ending of the match perfectly with the liquid sprayed in Cody's face while the ref was distracted. That was so well done. I love that. And then hit the black mask. Great. Good. Love that.
Yes.
Curious to see what happens now.
That imagery of him laying on the ramp, like basking in the glory was, oh God, it was everything.
You know, I was hoping
Malakai Black.
I'm not trying to do a stickler thing here, but you know, I would have loved while he was lying there, they changed the Tron behind him to where it says House of Black. That would have been kind of cool for like a nice shot. Shouts to Ant, your host of Elite POV, who's in the chat right now.
Yeah, he said he's real. Wait, who's real crisp? I guess Malakai Black is real crisp, I'm assuming.
Or Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes real crisp.
It wasn't Arn that was real crisp, unfortunately. Yeah. He was really knocked on his butt. Poor Arn Anderson.
But I'm curious to see where they take out Malakai Black now. I think they should stop the whole Cody thing, move on. I want to see a different one. Have him move on because I think his eye makeup stays the same now. I think whenever he moves on to another feud, I think it looks like that eye makeup just gets bigger and bigger after each match. And I think they're going to go full face. Eventually, it's going to be a full face, and it's going to be awesome. Oh, I love his character. Like your brother said in the chat, they're such a complex character. It doesn't come around often. It's going to be great. Cannot wait to see the future of these two.
There are levels to Malakai Black, and I can't wait to see. But yeah, they need to like just divert a little bit. They can always come back to it down the road, and they'll do a good job of transitioning back into it if they ever want to revisit it.
Yeah.
But yeah, put Malakai Black on a different pathway now and let Cody do his thing.
Tiffany in the chat there. Merp. Shout out to Tiffany.
Here's
your replacement right there.
Indeed.
It's your replacement. She's replacing you from now on, Tiff. You've been replaced. Sorry.
Kyle.
I stole Jackie away from Elite POV. It's over.
That's not true. Fake news. Fake news. Tiffany was lovely. She was my seat buddy yesterday.
Yeah.
And she fanned me when I thought I was going to, you know, pass out from hype.
Yeah.
Tiff was the MVP until the snow happened. Then, you know, that was a whole other
Tiff situation. Got to experience her PTSD in person, people. She got to be there live for the snow. And I was so happy that she got to experience that. I was so happy for Tiff, regardless of how she might have just, you know, like, been pissed off and asked for a refund. She got to experience her PTSD live. I'm so happy for you.
She walked out. You're not, Kyle, you're not very nice, man.
You got to face your fears.
She's traumatized.
Hey, I'm facing my fears because it's going to happen because it's been promised and it happens. It's going to happen. That when we
put Abaddon and you exactly. in the same room and lock the door.
No. There's no locking of the door.
Yeah, we're going to lock the door and throw away the key.
No. There's a meet and greet. I will, for 15 seconds, go up and meet her and then run away. That'll be it. That'll be end of story. But Tiffany faced her PTSD of Snow. And now I will face my PTSD of Abaddon. So that'll be it. But I love how they followed the whole CM Punk thing. Followed the whole Cole and Omega thing with CM Punk. And he comes out and perfect way to do it. Keep the crowd hot and going. Even though I heard reports that the crowd was hot throughout even the end of Rampage, which is great. It's basically like a pay-per-view. You guys basically got a pay-per-view, right? That's basically like sitting through a pay-per-view.
Yeah, essentially for time and formatting and just for how jam-packed it was with like nonstop action. There were a few like, you know, little moments where I was like, it could give or take. But for the most part, it was pretty solid.
Yeah. But the CM Punk thing was cool. He comes out, cuts a promo, really good promo. I loved how like he just starts it off. He's like, I'm glad I'm not wrestling tonight. How the hell do I follow that? Technically you did wrestle that night, CM Punk. But, you know, for TV purposes, that line made sense.
For TV purposes, and also there was enough hours in between when he actually hit the ring where it's like people were now in primed for a position to like get back into it. But I love that there's this thing that AEW does so brilliantly, and that's that they acknowledge openly the critiques that the fans have. And one of the critiques that we've been hearing is, I hate that, like, you know, Punk is doing this whole like happy-go-lucky tour of just like being so grateful. And so like, when are we going to see angry Punk again? And he addressed it like right out the gate and was like, you know, what do I have to be angry about? And it's like, oh, that's right. Booking with logic. Imagine that. Oh, like,
I'm in a company where I don't feel sick coming to work every day where I'm not going to be wrestling 6 days a week with Z-packs attached to me. You know, like he has so much to be happy for. Literally every time he's made his entrance so far, the crowd's been singing his damn theme song. How cool is that?
Why is he going to come out mean mugging? For what reason? Like, he brought it back around talking about being pissed off with the situation with, you know, Team Taz and Hobbs and stuff like that. Yeah, he can get angry when it calls for it, but he's not going to come out the gate like, you know, huffing and puffing. It doesn't make any sense.
To be real, everyone kind of does that. Any babyface that kind of cuts a promo, that has a promo in ring, they always come out happy and smiling and engaging the crowd. So, like, I know CM Punk has a history that his heel side is way better than his babyface side. But for right now, for where he is in his career, and he's in a company that he truly loves to be in and can be happy, this is perfect. Let him come out, have fun. Let him come out and jump into the crowd and do stage dives and
yeah, but surf but not in the crowd. Too much of that.
No, I loved how he joked about it. I love how he joked. He's like, "Look at this space. No, that's too much space. That's too much space."
Yeah. How did you feel? Because I know this. Knowing you, this probably popped you when he said it's been a long time since professional wrestling has been in New York City. Ooh.
Pew.
That shots fired moment. Mm-hmm. I was like, Kyle definitely is at home like, yes.
Let's be real here for a second. Let's be real here. In a way, it's a shot. In a way, it's stating facts. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know and you can't put two and two together, AEW, this thing right over here, this logo, professional wrestling, WWE, sports entertainment. It is not pro wrestling. I will argue with you till I'm purple in the face. WWE is not professional wrestling.
Well, you don't have to argue much because that's a term that they coined and adopted. You know what I mean? Like, that's the term that they insist on using, sports entertainment. They shy away from using pro wrestling. I don't want to turn this into like a us versus them kind of conversation.
I'm just stating, you know, that's what it is. Yeah, it's literally what it is.
So it's not causing any type of discourse. This is literally what they call it. Mm-hmm. But in a way, you know, it was a little bit of a dig. And I appreciated it because he did it. He fit that in seamlessly.
Hey, if a company fired me on my wedding day, I'd have a lot of ammo in the had a lot of ammo in the case. I'm just saying.
You sure would.
But anywho, good promo. Love he turned it, like you said, he turned it around, talked about Team Taz. He faced Will. I knew it. He faced Will Hobbs last night. And I'm like, I bet you that Twitter account changed their name back. Sure enough, they changed it back to Sen Hook. So you know what it's time for? Sen Hook. Sen Hook. It's got to be Hook next. And he's going to squash Hook in like a minute. I guarantee it's not going to be longer than a minute. And then it's going to lead to Ricky Starks, which I'm assuming is going to be for full gear. It's going to be Ricky Starks versus CM Punk. FTW title in the line. Punk will win it. Retire that belt because really no one gives a crap about the belt. Sorry, Taz. But right now, no AEW fan watching TV is excited for an FTW title match. No one's like, oh, I want Darby Allin to go get the FTW belt. I want Jungle Boy to go get the FTW belt. You know what? MJF would look good with the FTW. No, no one cares.
It's a non-entity. No one cares.
It is not. It is a non-entity. Actually, like you said.
If you're in the chat and you care, let us know. I'll wait. But yeah. I don't think anybody's going to come running out in defense of the FTW.
Unless like you're like a hardcore like Taz fan. I apologize to you for maybe if I said that and offended you. But regardless of that, speaking of belts, it's all but official. My boy Andrew Zarian confirmed it on his podcast. Well, he told Denise, who works with him on her podcast, that there's a secondary women's belt coming. And is the TBS Women's Championship. So the men are going to have the TNT belt. There's rumors that they were going to change that to TBS belt. Nope. They're making a brand new belt, secondary belt for the women. The TBS Women's Championship. Amazing. And you know, that's also a good sign, folks. I imagine there has to be some relationship there that both belts will get defended on each show, even though they'll be both on each. You know what I mean? Like the TNT belt would be defended on the TBS Dynamite. Yeah. And then the TBS belt, women's belt, will be defended on the TNT Rampage. I can't wait for that. I guess that's what the guy designs the belts. He tweeted like a week ago, like a picture of like just a strap with like the AW things imprinted in the belt that something soon was coming. So imagine that's the TBS belt that's coming soon. So
yeah, I know that there was speculation about like, oh, the you know, that might have been an indication of the trios titles that have been rumored. But I would much prefer to see a secondary women's title before we see yet another men's title. That's just me.
I'm
not the only one, but
they just need to do me a big favor. Don't make the mistake like you did the first time with the women's belt. Make it a big belt. Make it as big as a current women's belt. Do not make it small. Do not have the wrestling Twitter going after you for weeks to make that belt bigger.
Yeah, make it the right size. Make it look legit.
Please. That's all we ask.
And then give it to Layla Hirsch because, you know, she's legit.
It's funny because I hope they've kind of learned from their mistakes with that. So I like to sit here and think that it's going to be a nice looking belt. It's going to be the right size. It's going to look great. So I can't wait for it.
They're good about not repeating previous errors. They tend to listen pretty well, and I don't think that they want to get an earful about that same topic again. So regardless,
quick booking,
if that
here,
is true.
Quick booking. Who would you book as the first champion? You said, are you down set with Layla Hirsch?
Oh no, I said Layla Hirsch because I said make the belt legit, and then I said oh, like, they're gonna give it to Layla Hirsch.
You're so witty.
I have my moments.
See, this is why I want to replace you with Tiff. Or replace Tiff with you.
Don't say that. I know that you're
just, she knows I love
joshing, but she knows you're messing around too. But, you know, before, you know, it gets reported as fake news.
Fake news. But, yes. Who would you bug as first champion?
Ooh. For a TBS championship, I'm, like, leaning towards, a Ty Conti would be one of my first choices. And a Thunder Rosa. Without question, Thunder Rosa is my dark horse for everything. Love her. She is just completely consistent, great matches, great character. And she's somebody that can bring like a level of prestige to a title like that.
So I like that. I do think she will be she's going to be getting the world title before she gets to the other belt. I'm going to give you a name right now. That's going to be a great look for the TBS belt and the station itself, Chris Statlander.
I love Chris Statlander, and she's another one that
she can market the hell out of that belt.
Material. Yeah.
I could see that. She is a marketable champion. I think Chris Statlander is going to be the first TBS Women's Champion. That's my guess. Your brother mentioned Jade in the chat too. Jade very well could be that first. That could be her first title to help her elevate. And again, she's still building. We can't rush things with Jade. She cannot be rushed in any way, form, possible because she's got the perfect look and she just needs to develop. Once she develops more, she is going to be an absolute legend in that women's division. So we just need to kind of slow build her. That belt would be perfect for that type of situation. So,
but it can't be too much of a coincidence that her name is always coming up in conversation. So people seem to, have that faith in her that she's getting there.
Oh, yeah.
But she just, man, she's got that look. Like, she just has, like, I don't mean money in the sense of, like, oh, just she's marketable, like, in that sense. But she just looks like $1 million. I love Jade.
I'm curious to see where Ruby Soho goes. Like, the women's match last night was great. I love the whole match. The build-up for that was great. The promo last week on Rampage was amazing. And it was...
for the jugular.
Yeah, it was cutthroat. Like, way more than I thought it was going to be. So, this was a great match. Ruby Soho did not get buried whatsoever. I saw people saying she got buried. I'm like, guys, are you kidding me right now? Like, it's still, I know it's fall now. Technically, as of yesterday, we're fall. But it's the summer of Britt. Like, Britt Baker, this is her time right now with this belt. She's not going to drop that belt until it's somebody it's going to make sense. There's going to be a bigger story. And it's going to be a big fight feel. Like, it was a big fight feel last night, but it's going to be a bigger deal. Like, Ruby Soho just got here. They still put on a great match. We still got a lot out of Ruby. Ruby right
people
now.
People need to stop equating losses with burial. It's a continuity thing. It's building momentum. It's putting people behind a character. Like, oh, they have one loss and suddenly they're buried. That's not how this works. You know, a person doesn't have to win all the time to be over. So, I'm not surprised that people said that, but I completely 100% disagree with that.
I'm curious to see where she goes with Ruby Soho. I saw some people saying they're going to do a rematch. They really don't think so. I think Britt and Thunder Rosa is going to be at Full Gear. I think that's going to be the title match.
Oh, that would be amazing.
So we'll see. Right now, the women's division, again, they're going to introduce a new belt. I smell a tournament coming. I smell a very big tournament coming for that new belt. So I imagine we're going to get that tournament. We might see a new star or two. We're going to get some returning stars. Like, a lot of the girls from Japan are coming back over. Emi Sakura is really close. She's going nuts. I guess she was, like, running around outside during the lines and high-fiving people and all that stuff. She was like, they're tweeting videos out, which was funny.
That's interesting.
So I'm curious to see where they go with the, or how they, they love their tournaments, AEW. So it's going to be a tournament for this new belt, guaranteed.
I love tournaments too. So and there I'll you be go. Excited for that.
What Isaac said, the tournament could lead up to Full Gear and the finals could be at Full Gear for that new belt. So
don't tell that to Disco Inferno in the chat. Whoops.
What else happened last night? We're talking about Diamond. Hello. No Rampage spoilers here, folks.
No, I'm not. But FTR versus Sting and Darby Allin. And I know we touched on the PTSD with the snow and then it kind of like went, but come on, we're not having a podcast episode with me.
Yeah.
With me and glazing over the FTR. No.
The biggest FTR fan in the community right here, folks. Jackie.
Can confirm.
Rodriguez. It's right here. You've seen her video. She posted it. She was screaming her ass off at FTR. And I saw you taking the video, but you know what was going through my head? You know when they get up, you know, they go up to the turnbuckle to do their pose in the ring. The lights turned off so fast. I'm like, ooh, I'm like, I wonder if Jackie was trying to take a picture and the lights went off.
I was actually taking video.
Yeah.
I got like, great. It was like they did their whole like, you know, that little pound and then hug thing that they do. And it was great. It did kind of like weird me out that they faded to black so quickly, but you know,
I saw time constraints like, and all that. If she was trying to get a picture because they are right there. That's why I'm like, that's right where they're sitting. I sit there going, oh, come on.
Given the position of our seats, they were right there pretty much the whole time. And actually jumping ahead, as they made their exit from the ring, they came right in front of us.
Oh.
And yeah, Tiff almost had to like drag me out on a stretcher. But
great match.
The hype was real.
Ooh, great match. I know your boys lost and took the L here, but man, staying at 62 for to do what he's doing right now, incredible. At 62. Like, come on. I was sitting there and amazed. I was just going like, what? How is he still doing this crap?
And so fluidly. That's the other thing. It's like, it's one thing to be explosive, like power wise, like, okay, well, he can get somebody, you know, up in the air and drop them and, you know, do that with like, you know, he can lift, but he's just so fluid at 62. I'm like, wow, what am I doing at 33 that like I'm creaking and my bones are all like messed up.
A lot of DDP yoga right there.
Yeah, but no, he came out like really impressive, because with him, like, I'm always thinking that they're just going to kind of let Darby carry the match, and then Sting will get like one or two, like, you know, big high spot kind of moves where it's like flashy and gets the crowd going. But no, he was in there really, really getting involved in that match. So shout out to Sting for keeping up with that cardio and making it happen out there.
Yeah, this was good. I'm intrigued to see now where they go from this. Like, there's, after this event, we're going to start seeing some gears rolling, you know, pun intended, for Full Gear. Of what feuds are going to be what. And I'm curious to see where those two go from here. I'm curious to see where your boys FTR go from here. Are they going to do like a tag team number one contenders tournament to see who gets the next shot, the Lucha Brothers? It'll be interesting to see. I'm very, very intrigued.
Yeah. They're just so damn good. So freaking good. Mm-hmm. And they called out that win loss record, 21-2. Well, now 21-3. So,
still, that's a
only in since they've been there, only three losses.
That's incredible, man. That just show
love my guys, love them.
I don't want to say they get mislooked, but I think that aspect of their team gets mislooked a lot. Like, they are a dominant mm-hmm. team. They are a very dominant team. So I wouldn't doubt if there was like a number one contenders tournament, they'd be in the finals 100%. I would go as far as maybe win the tournament. I would love to see an FTR and Lucha Brothers go at it at Full Gear. That would be a great tag team match for the belts.
Yeah, they've had matches. Like, I think Lucha Brothers was one of their first matches when they came to AEW.
I remember that.
Incredible match. So, yeah, run that back.
Yeah, was it the, was it not Cash Wheeler? Didn't he not do a moonsault from, I think he did like a moonsault from like the third rope onto Phoenix, I'm pretty sure. And I'm like, wait, what?
Cash has got those moves in his bag. And, you know, it's like, I know it's the no flips. No. It would be Cash, because Dax doesn't do any of that stuff. I'm not saying that he can't, but he just never does. Yeah. But Cash is known to like pull it out, like when he did that 450 splash at the end of the Young Bucks Full Gear match. Like, people are like, oh, they think that these guys are just ground wrestlers. It's like, no, Cash can, if you look back at his indie stuff, he's got those moves in his arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm curious to see where they go now, because I don't think it's just going to be an attack, a match, and then that's the end of that. You know, with Darby and Sting, that's got to go somewhere. I don't think this is over yet.
Right.
Get your boy Sean Spears in on that.
Hey.
Pinnacle all day.
Yep. I should have worn the shirt today, but MJF, I'm shocked, never got mic time. I'm absolutely, like, putting him in front of that crowd with a mic would have been fantastic. Because I thought for sure that his parents being there, he's going to cut a promo and make fun of his parents or something. I was waiting for it, but no promo time. Regardless, he had a match with Brian Pillman Jr. Yes. I thought it was a good match. Really well done. And MJF's another question mark too for me. Like, where does he go from here? Obviously, this feud with Brian Pillman Jr. is done now. I'm curious to see what happens now.
Yeah, because to me, it can't build to anything. Like, there's not going to be like Brian Pillman Jr. rallying up at this stage to, you know, come after MJF, who's mostly undefeated. It's not going to happen. So I don't know where they're going with him. The match was all right. I expected it to be more of a showcase of Brian Pillman Jr., like to kind of like get him out there, but it didn't quite do that for me. I felt it felt a little filler to me, but that's just my personal opinion. But it would have felt less filler if MJF had cut a promo or something like that after it. But his mom in the crowd, oh man, that was the highlight of the night. That sign that says we're MJF's parents and we know he sucks too.
That was fantastic. That was great.
So great.
I'm like, is that actually his mom or is this like a couple cosplaying? And I looked it up. I'm like, oh my God, that's actually his parents.
I'm pretty sure it really is.
Yeah. Then. No, she was something Friedman on Twitter.
Nina Friedman. Yeah. Yep.
And like MJF quote retweeted it saying like, F off mom.
That was like, that took it over. I'm like, this is prime MJF where he sees the ball and he takes it and he runs with it and then throws it into a pit of fire. Like just like he's somebody that I can't stand just as a character, but that's the point.
He's doing his job.
But I'm always intrigued to see what he's going to do next, if I'm being completely honest.
He is gold. He is a guy at the end of his contract, Tony Khan. You give him whatever he wants in money and anything, and you keep him in that company because he will always make you money because he is absolute gold. He gets that perfect heat. He gets that perfect. Oh, yeah, because he can't do this in WWE. He'd be like, he'd be Disney-fied. as for the rest of the show, it was a great show. I don't know if I'm missing anything. For some reason, I can't think about the top of my head.
No. We covered everything, everything from Dynamite.
And you saw Rampage, I guess, without spoiling it. Was Rampage a good show?
Rampage was fantastic.
So I heard that we need to watch, like, from people are like, please watch the Adam Cole and Young Bucks versus Christian and Jungle Express match. People said that match was very, very good.
Yes. I can't say anything like without giving stuff away. All I'm going to say is there were some fire matches. I had some great videos that I took from last night that I couldn't post because I'm like, hello, spoiler alert.
Yeah. You don't want to be known as that person.
Yeah. I don't want to be like, somebody like that did almost happen today, but I'm like, I put a disclaimer and it really wasn't a spoiler per se, but I tried to be fair. But yeah, there was again a couple of matches that I was like, I could have done without. Did it need to be a 2-hour Rampage just to have this match on the card? Maybe not. But the matches that were on point more than made up for the matches that were like kind of just But yeah, you're gonna wanna tune in.
Yeah. I'm very excited for that. I saw, is it the Eddie Kingston video you're talking about?
You mean the one that I posted?
Yeah, where he's talking to his parents. So that wasn't aired, I heard. So you're good with that.
Yeah. There was a little bit of something in there that could have been a little giveaway to something that happened during the match, but that's why I kind of indicated.
I was unfortunate. Someone retweeted that spoiler, so I know what happens. So
But it was just that, like, I didn't, I would never put an outcome of a match or something like major like that because I'm not a jerk and I wouldn't want it done to me.
So this technically isn't a spoiler, but you have to answer me this question. You can answer on this podcast. Okay. Did they let Suzuki have his full entrance?
Yes.
Okay. And the crowd said the right part loud and clear.
Hell yes, we did.
Great. And then I heard Adam Cole's entrance was a big pop too. So I heard they were saying boom. Like every time the boom part went in the song, the crowd was saying boom as well.
Yes. That, and as we were walking in a mass exodus from the stadium back to the parking lot, which was, I don't know, like 10 miles away from the stadium.
I know where you're going with this.
Everybody was still singing the song.
Oh.
And they were still hitting with the, it's all about the boom. And people were just chiming in. It's like 1:30 in the morning.
I thought it was like the Adam Cole baby. Because every takeover I went to, upon exit, there'd be some random person yelling, Adam Cole. And everyone else would go, baby.
There was a lot of that when we were going into the stadium. But there was more of people just singing the song like on loop. Because it's such a banger song. Shout out Mikey Ruckus. Mm-hmm. You beautiful human being.
And thank you for tweeting at us. He literally like made his own tweet and tagged us. I'm like, oh, thank you. Make me cry over here.
He's so great.
But yeah, it's just crazy to see too. I'm going to say this. Seeing every AEW show that happens, whether it's Rampage, whether it's Dynamite, whether it's these special Dynamites or pay-per-view, just looks like the crowd has so much fun. It reminds me every time I've gone to a takeover, that's exactly how I felt at all the tape. Back when NXT was doing shit right. Back when like Samoa Joe was there and Nakamura was there and Bobby Roode, like that era of NXT.
The all-star cast NXT.
When I was going to takeovers there, I'd been to both Toronto takeovers. I went to takeover Phoenix.
So jealous.
I went to takeover New Orleans. So and takeover New York. Mm-hmm. I saw the famous Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole 2 out of 3 falls match. Every takeover I've gone to, I feel like that atmosphere is what AEW is right now, times 10. So, and I just from watching it, just from hearing the reaction, people telling me the reactions, their stuff from the stadium, it's a great environment. And then what I'm also reading too is a lot of the wrestlers backstage, they said like the atmosphere backstage is extremely positive and everyone is having fun, and it's a very, very positive work environment.
Yeah, unless everybody, which I'm not saying that this, I'm making a joke here, but like unless everybody's getting slipped some money on the side to say like, hey, tell them you really like working here. It can't be too much of a coincidence that everybody says, you know, that it's such a more relaxed environment. Mm-hmm. You don't hear a lot of like interpersonal drama behind the scenes. So, you know, for that reason, we'll just go with that and we'll say yes. It seems to be like a more productive and just easier environment to be in. And I would be remiss if I didn't say this. We got a lot of Tony Khan last night coming
I've
out.
Seen some clips.
And Tony Khan is the most wholesome human being ever. Like seeing him get hyped up, he's like a little kid. Like the way that he's like stomping on the ground and his voice is breaking. And he just like, you could tell that he's trying to be intimidating or aggressive in his like, yeah, we're going to do this. But it never comes across that way. It always comes across just like a little kid just having the time of his life. Right. And he's just like, I love that he comes out at the beginning of every show. Thanks to fans for being there. Give him a little rundown. He's just like,
oh my God, his thank yous. When he's saying his thank yous, I seen the clip of him thanking the fans. You can tell and you can hear it in his voice how genuinely like grateful he is for us, the fans, and what we do for him and his company. He literally, he's a mark just like all of us. That's what the best thing is. He's not there to make the money. He's there to create the experience and create memories and to create a great wrestling product. That all comes first before the money with him. And that's what I 100% appreciate about him. Look what he did. He got into a rap battle with Max Caster and he brought out Little Uzi Vert. Spoiler alert.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was funny.
But that clip was replayed about a million times, so I'm sure everybody knows about that.
Yeah, so. I can never tell like being there live, like what is gonna actually make it to the show and what might just be like an exclusive to, you know, to us there. But seeing Tony Khan try to do a rap battle was something I didn't have in my bingo card for the night.
That's funny. But that line
is so great.
And I'll drop here. That line he says is like, I'm Tony Khan and I'm here to say I'll suspend the acclaim for another 30 days.
And then had to come back out. He's like, just kidding, guys. Just kidding. I'm not really going to like.
He's like, I'm not actually like that. That's not happening.
He said again.
Didn't he say like they weren't actually suspended?
That's what I'm saying. He came back out. Yeah. Like, I think there was a match and then he came back out. He said, by the way, guys, when I said this, I'm like, the fact that he even has to come out and clarify.
He's such a nerd.
Says a lot about wrestling reporting these days. But yeah, he was like, before this becomes a headline somewhere, no, they're not actually suspended. That was just a line and a rap.
I think my boy John Alba tweeted that out. And then he quote tweeted underneath it and put sorry ringside news.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that.
Oh man, great. But honestly, an amazing event. I can't wait to finally attend an AEW event again. I'm itching to get at it. Hopefully, like the world kind of calms down a bit. Who knows nowadays? But eventually I know it's gonna happen. And eventually one day again, I'll be probably going down to you and Tiff's area and we'll experience an AEW show together. It'll be great, it'll be fun. There'll be a lot of videos and clips and all that stuff, guys. It's gonna be amazing. But other than that, thank you guys all for tuning in live today. Really do appreciate you guys tuning in live, whether you're tuning in live on YouTube. If you are tuning in live on YouTube right now, see that little like button right there, the thumbs up. Click that for us. Helps us a lot. Click
that like button.
Subscribe. If you're watching back on YouTube, for sure do the same thing. If you're an audio listener, thank you guys so much for downloading the episode, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, iHeartRadio, CastBox, wherever you're getting your podcast, guys, search up the No Holds Barred Network. You'll get the All Elite Podcast on there and all the other podcasts we do offer on the network as well. I'd like to thank Jackie here today for coming on the podcast once again, second week in a row. She is from Elite POV. She does a podcast with two of my friends of mine as well, Anthony and Phil. Guys, go follow them.
My guys.
Yeah, at Elite POV on Twitter. I believe that's
at Elite POV, yes. And if you want to catch us live, it's twitch.tv/ElitePOV. Yeah. Elite POV.
Yeah, just like Britt Baker. Mm-hmm. POV. Yeah, check that out, guys. You're doing an amazing job. Again, thank you, Jackie, for coming on today. Follow her, guys. You can see her Twitter handle down in the link there if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're an audio listener, it's at LoveYouMake24. Follow her. She is the most one of the most positive and friendly and amazing people in the wrestling community. So seriously, give her a follow, guys. She's been one of my best friends lately. So thank you, Jackie, for coming on, making
thank
the time
you, Kyle.
2 weeks in a row doing this. So it's asking a lot. So
it'll be a see you later for now. If you ever need me, you know where to find me.
I know one there's going to be an Elite POV AEP crossover one day. There'll be all five of us on one show where we're just going to be doing roundtable shit. I know it's happening one day, so get prepared for that, guys.
Be prepared for the pandemonium.
Yeah,
but it's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. But guys, we'll be live back here. When are we going? Oh yeah, next week is sorry. I have to keep like a schedule. I have this big calendar to my left here that I have everything written down on. So AEP next week is actually going to be live after Dynamite next week. So you guys can catch that live right after Dynamite. I'm pretty sure we'll be live at 10:30 p.m. because we have a little break in between 10 and 10:30 just to get set up and everything. So you guys are going to want to follow the Twitter at All Elite Pod on Twitter for all updates concerning the podcast and everything like that. You know when we go live and all that jazz. So thank you to all who do follow. And if you haven't followed, give us a follow. It's going to be amazing. Cannot wait for the future with AEW. Just keeps getting better and better by the day. But that's going to do it, guys. My name is Kyle Masters. I'm your self-proclaimed greatest host. I am your Canadian Prince, and I'm joined today by Jackie Rodriguez from Elite POV. Her Twitter link is at LoveYouMake24. And ladies and gentlemen, I have it ready today, and I know it's going to work. So we're going to have my good friend Kenny Omega sign us off today. So, hey, Kenny, AEW champ. Send us off, please.
Good night, bang!